We're going to be in Psalms, verse chapter 85 today, and I'm probably going to preach maybe six or seven sermons out of Psalms. God has really spoken to me here lately about some of these, and we're going to talk about restoration and revival this morning. Psalm 85, the Bible says, "Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger towards us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and he shall make his footsteps a pathway." I hope that you heard that God loves his people. He loves his land. He loves his creation. Today, the title of this message is "Restore Us, Lord Jesus." But I wrote down some others that were just as good, I thought. Options were "Restore Us Again," "Awaken Us, We Pray," "The Hope of God's People," and "Revive Us Again." In 85, you'll see that's a heartfelt prayer for restoration and revival of God's people. And I'm thinking we sure need a revival today.
Amen.
Revived by the Lord. This is written by the chief musician, and he looks back at the spiritual history of God's people. And you can almost hear a longing in his heart. You can hear him as he looks back and thinking, let's go back to the good old days. And he's not talking out of hat here. He's really looking back and seeing all the good that God did. You know, sometimes we talk about the good old days and then they say they weren't so hot after God. He's reminded what God had to do with it, and it was good. It was all good. So he's reminded of how God had blessed Israel over and over again, and how Israel had given into sin time and time again. And the writer knew that God had brought his people back to him, and as he brought the people back, God knew without a doubt that the people were going to sin again. So as the chief musician looks back and then he looks at the future, as he's in the present, he cries out, "God, will you not revive us again?" Can you hear that? God, will you not revive us again? I'm thinking about that today for us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, will you revive us again? Please, Lord, we sure need you. Verse 4 tells us, "Restore us, O God of our salvation." Father Almighty, restore us today. Restore Hillcrest Baptist Church to the point of our salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Verse 7 says, "Show us your mercy, Lord." And there's ever a time that we needed to feel the mercy of God, I think it's today. Look about what's happening in the last 5 or 6 weeks here in the United States, and we look at the last several months that's happened worldwide. Lord God, show us your mercy. We need desperately for God to show us his mercy today.
Amen.
We need God to restore us. We need God to revive us today. J.I. Packer defined revival like this: "Revival is the visitation of God which brings to life Christians who have been sleeping and restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. Then springs a vivid sense of sin and profound exercise of heart in the repentance, praise, and love with an evangelistic outflow. Each revival moment has its own distinctive features, but the pattern is the same every time. First God comes, and back years ago in 1739, George Wesley, George Whitfield, and some of his friends had a love feast, which became a watch night in pregnancy the new year in. And about 3 a.m., Wesley wrote, "The power of God came mightily upon us, insomuch that many cried of exceeding joy, and many fell to the ground. And revival always begins with the restoration of the sense of the closeness of the Holy One. So I want to ask you today, do you just feel closer to the Lord than you did 5 weeks ago? Maybe there's some good stuff coming out of this COVID-19 and all the stuff that's going on now. That God is drawing us back and we're feeling the presence of God and we're having to depend on God again. And anyway, J.I. Packer says the second thing, the gospel is loved as never before. The sense of God's nearness creates an overwhelming awareness of one's own sins and sinfulness. And so the power of the cleansing blood of Christ is greatly appreciated. Boy, I'm writing this message and I'm realizing how sinful I am and how much God has loved me and forgiven me and how much more that becomes more important to me, the death of Christ on the cross and that he did it for me as well as he did it for you. And then repentance deepens. In the Ulster Revival in the 1920s, shipyard workers brought back so many stolen tools that they had to build new sheds to house the recovery of the property. As I read that part of it, we don't steal tools. I know we don't. But have you ever taken a paper clip home from the place you work? Or a pen? Or God begins to show us the sin in our life. If you've had a paper clip that you took home, I don't have one with me, but I know I've taken one home from the church before. And I'll probably bring it back tomorrow, just bringing it up to you. Whatever sins in our life, when God comes and shows himself to us, he starts drawing the sin and showing us that sin so that we'll repent. And that's what starts revival. And then finally, the Spirit works fast as godliness multiplies and Christians mature and converts appear. Lord God, revive us again. Stephen Alford wrote, revival is an invasion from heaven that brings a conscious awareness of God. We absolutely need an invasion of God today.
Amen.
We need him to come from heaven and renew our hearts. We need the bread. God, send revival. Restore us again, God. I'm having to agree with you that from the morning, the day you get up, from the time you go to bed at night, you sin. So if we go to bed at night, don't you think we ought to ask forgiveness for that sin all day long? If we go to bed when we think tired, we forget to ask forgiveness of that sin. That's what I'm praying about now. God, restore us, revive us so that our hearts are so aching because we've sinned that we just go back to the Father and quote 1 John 1:9, Father, forgive me for my sins, knowing that he's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and all unrighteousness, the Bible says. So as we think about revival today and all the circumstances that we're facing in the last couple weeks, as well as however long it's going to take place, I want us to think about the closeness of God, the forgiveness of God. And as we read Psalm 85, I want us to look back and see what God's done. So first thing that we need to do as we look at Psalm 85 is realize this. Revival is needed because God's people have grown away from God. We've all grown complacent. We've all grown satisfied with the way things are. Often we live a sinful life, and that sinful life draws us away from God, and it gets us so to the point that we don't even know we're living a sinful life. So look at verses 1 through 3 with me, Psalm 85, verses 1 through 3, and it just reminds us what God has done for us in the past. The Bible says in verse 1, Lord, you've been favorable to your man. You've fought back in captivity to Jacob. You've forgiven the iniquity of your people. You've covered their sins. You've taken away your wrath. You've turned from the fierceness of your anger. As we think about these three verses, I want us to look and see what God's done for us in the past. You've been favorable to your land, Lord. Isn't the United States one of the most favored lands in the world? blessed the United States, blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. He's blessed this nation with blessing on top of blessing. He's blessed Hillcrest Baptist Church with blessing on top of blessing. God, you've brought us back from captivity. You've brought us back from the sin in our life. You've delivered us from our enemies. You've delivered us from Satan. You've forgiven our iniquity, our sinful lifestyles. You've forgiven the sins of your own people. And as we review the past back then, look at 2,000 years ago. Didn't God do the same thing 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for our sins?
Amen.
He forgave us. He blessed us. He knew that we're going to be sinful again. He covered our sins on the cross. But as he covered our sins, he withdrew his wrath from us. He withdrew his fierce anger from us. Just a couple things about revival. Revival is the sovereign work of God which he visits on his people. God is working. He's working at Hillcrest Baptist Church. He's working in the United States of America. He's working all over this world, trying to send revival, restoring us from our sins, forgiving us from our sins, so that he can pour out the blessings of heaven for us, on us. Nothing is impossible for God. So as we seek revival, as we seek restoration, we look at what God has done in the past first, and then we look at why the people were distressed back then and being kind of prepared for what we have the same things going on in verse 4. Restore us, O God, our salvation, all generations, will you not revive us again? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. And we pray that the Lord God will speak and he will speak his peace to his people and to his saints, and not let them go back to their folly. In verse 8, talking about he'll speak peace to his saints so that they won't return to their folly. He'll speak peace to our hearts so that we don't return over and over to the same sin in our life. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him and the glory and the dwell in our land. God's telling us we fear him, we love him, we turn back to him, and he'll allow us his presence in our life. We'll return to dwell with him. God, today, as in 2,500 years ago, they feared your anger. Today, because of sin, we fear your anger. We ask, Lord, that you would take it away from us. We ask, Lord, that you would grant us the feeling of salvation. I want to tell you right now, though, even though he withdraws his presence from us, he will never, ever let us lose our salvation. As he restores us and revives us, he also moves his presence back into our lives and around us and in our everything that we're doing. Lord, please send a revival to us. And I realize this as well. When he withdraws his presence from us, he cannot be around sin. And that's what we're looking at today. God, restore us from our sin. Revive us from that sin. Some of us may think that we're okay with God, but I want us to see things from God's point of view. I wrote down 7 things that we could be dealing with. Some of you may not be dealing with any of these. Number 1, maybe you're going through life right now and there's no joy in your life. God cannot abide with sin. He cannot bless us with joy if there's sin in our lives. So if we're dealing with a life that's joyless, without the joy, without the presence of God, then maybe it's time to realize that we need revival. We need to be restored back to God. And secondly, when we become bored in worship. Now, I'm telling you today, getting prepared for this, we were anything but bored trying to get here today. But as we set up these speakers and they dumped over and everything just fell apart, we rushed to get them back. I longed to be back in the sanctuary.
Amen.
And I want us to get to that point where we're longing to go back to the sanctuary.
Amen.
And have things like they were back then. And not grow complacent towards the worship when we return to the sanctuary. I wrote down in my notes, Brother Lassiter. None of you know who he is. Rhonda may remember him. Back when I was becoming a deacon in Mount Juliet, I needed to be taught how to be a deacon. And Brother Lassiter was our senior adult minister. And at the time, he was about 85 years old, and he walked real slow. He spoke real fast. He knew his Bible frontwards and backwards. He used to be the preacher at another church, and that church combined with First Baptist. So he became the associate pastor as minister of senior adults. And when Brother Billy would take vacation, he would get Brother Lassiter to preach. Now, I'm telling you, I went visiting with Brother Lassiter every week, and I don't think I've ever met a more godly man. I've never been around a more godly man. And he oozed the wisdom of God. I mean, he knew everything there was to know, I thought. And I loved him. I loved to hear him preach. When he talked about like this, he had to put one finger in your ear because he talked so fast. So people quit coming to church when he was preaching. But what they didn't realize was God gave him a message to preach. And God gave him that fast speech too. God made Brother Lassiter just like he was, and he used him for 85 years to spread the gospel and save people and to teach them. He was teaching this young deacon about how to be a deacon. Yet they didn't want to come to church because they were tired of that type of worship. They didn't want to listen to Brother Lassiter. If we get like that, if I go on vacation, we get like that, and you don't want to listen to the person that comes to preach, then maybe you need to be restored. Maybe you need to be revived. Because God has given that man that fills the pulpit a message. How often do we get away from God like that? We allow things to get in the way of our worship. Number three, we believers are at odds with each other. Again, how often does that happen at churches? We fight among each other. We have schisms with churches. We have splits. If there's ever a time that you need revival, it's when brothers are against brothers and sisters against sisters. We need to be restored and revived at that moment. Number four, I wrote down, when we know the truth of God's word, yet we don't apply it to our lives, and we pick and choose. Now, I know that sometimes we read something in the Bible, we don't like it, so we don't apply it to our life. We pick, we choose that, and we don't like that, so we'll put that aside, and we'll just go by this. When we pick and choose God's Word, and don't apply it all to our life, we need to be restored. We need to be revived. Number five, we'd rather make money than get money. You know, Jesus spoke an awful lot about giving. Our church is very blessed with our finances. I don't have to say too much about giving, but when we start thinking about earning money and not giving, then we're in trouble, and we need to be restored and be revived. Number six, when we have to entertain people to draw them to church, and churches are becoming more and more guilty of that every day. We have to entertain. We feel like we have to entertain. We have programs to draw people to church. We have to add things to worship. The good old days, back in the old days, they had a scroll. And sometimes they'd read that scroll a half a day to the people, and they'd just eat it up. They'd stay and listen to the whole thing. When we have to entertain people to draw them to church, then we need to be restored. We need to be revived. Number seven, when the fire goes out of our hearts, our marriages, or our churches. So let me ask you today, how is the fire in your heart for God? I hope these last 5 or 6 weeks has rekindled the fire in your life, rekindled your love for your spouse, rekindled your love for your family, rekindled your love for your church. Isn't it great that we can meet out here on a cold, rainy, almost Sunday morning in our parking lot and worship God together? If I had a horn, I'd be beeping with you. Amen, Lord. Thank you so much for what you do for us. I'm going to close with this short story. I want to just say a thing or two, and then I want you to hear a song that I heard there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. That I just tell you, it's a country western song. You know, when I heard it, my heart just broke. It's by Reba McEntire. So let me read through this story. Christians, all of us, look back at the great things God has done. We can look into His Word and see many examples of His great help. We can look back at the great things God has done in our own lives. We can feed our faith on wonderful stories of God touching other lives, sending revival, healing, deliverance, and salvation. In 1910, there was a revival meeting in Texas led by Mordecai Ham. One night in the worship service, there was a man who had killed 4 men. Before that night, he never dreamed that God could care for him, but during that service, he was touched by the news about Jesus Christ. That man was so overjoyed by the love and mercy of God that he stood up and shouted, "Saved! Saved! Saved!" And right after that, there was a hymn written, "Saved! Saved! Saved!" because of that. This world is in desperate need of revival. Our country is in desperate need of revival. Clarksville is in desperate need of revival, and I'm going to say Hillcrest Baptist Church is in desperate need of revival. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and as we humble ourselves, we pray and seek God's face, then He'll hear our prayers in this place. So we're going to listen to Reba, and it's a song called Back to God. So listen to the words. I hope that you can hear it. It's going to be over the radio as well as the speakers, and we'll see what it does. But if you need to get right with God, you don't need me to help you with that. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I've strayed away from you. I've gotten too far away from you. You can ask for help for that. Lord, draw me back to you. Lord, I've put my emphasis on different things other than God. You can do that by yourself. If you need to invite Jesus into your life for the first time, it's this. Father Almighty, we love you and praise you. And Father, we've met today to bring you honor and glory. I pray, Lord, that all the songs we sang and the prayers we prayed and the written words, Lord, that we shared, God, would just brought honor and glory to your name. We exalted you the best we could today. And I thank you, Lord, for holding off the rain. It's so nice to be out without getting rained on, sharing the Word of God. I praise you, Father, for that. Now I pray for each one as they go home. I ask, Lord, that you bless them for the rest of the day and that they feel the presence of God in their lives, at their homes. And Lord, they worship you today. And I give them safety on the way home. Lord, we love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.